Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with the KWCA podcast. On today's program, we have Hall of Fame inductee Wayne Peterson. The wrestling journeyman will be one of three Hall of Fame inductees at this year's recognition, joining Bob Gonzalez and Rick Langerat. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thank you, and glad to be here.
Well, it's always interesting hearing the origin story of successful wrestlers and coaches. With you, it takes even more interest. You were part of one of the most successful programs in the history of Kansas high school wrestling, and you were the first state champion in Beloit's storied history. The program hit its peak during the 83-84 season, but you helped get the ball rolling with your state title in 1976 in the 119-pound weight class. At that time, the program was only in its ninth season, and legendary coach Ken Piazza was in season five of his dozen years in Beloit. Take us back to the days of Coach Newell and Piazza getting the Beloit juggernaut off the ground. How did you personally get started in the sport, and what were those early days of Beloit wrestling like?
I got started in Beloit and with wrestling in junior high. Coach Levenstein had a junior high program started in the seventh grade, and then eighth grade, Coach Piazza came in, and so we did the junior high thing again. I never had kids wrestling, and Piazza and Newell started that probably when I was a freshman or something of that nature in high school, and those kids were doing that then. But that's how that program got started, was Don Newell was really good with the kids, and Piazza, Coach Piazza, he, them two were good friends and got connected through the elementary school because they both worked there, and they got the feeder going with that club. And then I decided to wrestle after the 72 Olympics when I saw that fiasco with the basketball team. And then, of course, Gable and those guys had an outstanding Olympic year that year, and that got my juices flowing for that, and so I had to make a choice between basketball and wrestling, and I chose wrestling, and particularly with the influence of my brother being the first state placer when I was in eighth grade, along with Craig Jones. Those two placed that year, and I saw that at the state tournament in Colby, Kansas, and after the Olympics, I just decided I'm going to do the wrestling thing.
Now, you talked about Coach Piazza and Newell starting the club program, and I understand that Newell purchased a building that was used that wasn't affiliated with a high school. Now, did you benefit from that as far as year-round practices and stuff when you were in high school, or are you saying they basically it was geared more towards the younger crowd?
Well, I benefited from it because I got into Piazza steered me towards the freestyle in the off seasons. Of course, Newell purchased that building, and so they had a mat in there, an old mat we got from Hayes High, I believe. And so I was going in there and working out on my own and doing some things. Went in there during a few practices when the kids were going, and that was a huge benefit for me. Now, I played all sports and through high school. So I was doing a lot of that on my own, and I could give Piazza or Newell a call anytime, and we'd show up over there and get a workout in, you know, in the off season. So that was a big benefit.
And was that the case for, your teammates at that time, that you guys, you know, typical small town where you played all the different seasons of sports, and then wrestling was kind of integrated sort of under the radar along with the other sports as well?
Right. Yeah. It was just a winter sport for us. We did, you know, most of my classmates and teammates did football and wrestling and track and baseball in the summer. And so I was going around to some freestyle tournaments, and we didn't have Greco-Roman going on then. It's just freestyle. So I'd hear about a tournament, load up and go to it, you know, get a few workouts in and get down to weight.
After your high school career, you headed to Graceland College in Iowa, where you became an NAIA All-American when you placed fourth at the national tournament at 126 pounds in 1977 as a true freshman. You transferred to Fort Hays State University and continued your winning ways, placing eighth in the 1979 NAIA Nationals and third in the 1982 Nationals, both at 134 pounds. Talk a bit about your college career.
Yeah, I went to Grayson College out of high school. I had a buddy up there, a couple buddies up there from Beloit that were both state finalists, and they went to Grayson, and so I followed them up there with that connection, and yeah, it went pretty well up there, but things weren't just quite right, so after I placed my freshman year and then my sophomore year, it didn't go so well because I cut too much weight and didn't do it the right way. But I decided to go back to Fort Hays State and get on with my wrestling career there. And I went up to 134 after that. That helped a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I finished up at 34 too, so... it went good. I had a little gap in my competition there from my junior year to my final year because of some serious injuries. I had to go through with a shoulder and a knee, so I sat out in 1980 and 1981. Actually, I wrestled the first semester of the 81 season and was undefeated, but... And I had that knee injury, and I got lucky, and I was awarded a hardship. And so I got to come back in 82 and wrestle second semester only.
Okay.
And that's when I placed third there. But I'll tell you, that 81 team was pretty darn good. We placed sixth in the nation that year, and I wasn't on the team. I wasn't wrestling. So we had... We had a good deal going on there at Fort Hays with a lot of Kansas guys. And, you know, the results showed. I think while I was there, we placed the top 10 in the nation three times at Fort Hays.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire. After you put your shoes in the middle of the mat, the transition to your coaching career was seamless. What was the circumstances that led to you jumping directly from an athlete to head coach at Fort Hays State University?
Pretty unique. We went through three different coaches while I was at Hays, and the final two were more or less football assistant coaches that were heading up the program after football season was over. Then when I was a senior in 82, Andy Robertson, he was coach. He only did it for 1 year, and he left, took another football job. So the job opened up, and... I was interviewing around on some high school jobs, and then the AD came to me and asked me if I'd be interested in taking that job. I had to get my master's degree my first 2 years, and then he said, if you can do that and get through it, then we'll look at keeping you on. And I told him, I said, well, I still have my student teaching to do. And he said, well, that's something you're going to have to figure out. So... I did that, and then I got my master's degree in three semesters, and then it was pretty interesting back then. We had some guys, you know, a lot of guys the first year or two that I was teammates with, and now I'm their coach, and so it was interesting how we handled that. I was young, too, trying to figure things out, but ended up staying on for another 8 years after that.
Wow, wow. So before taking over at your most recent stop, Neosho, you seem to have quite a hiatus from coaching. What brought you back?
Well, I took some time off there from coaching, and I moved back to Beloit after the program was dropped at Colorado Northwestern, and I couldn't land a job, so I went back to Beloit and worked construction there and did that thing, and then the Neosho job came up, and I always thought to myself, if I get back into this or even try to get back into it, that I'm going to try to get to a place in Kansas that is a junior college and has resources, and you know, I can work with Kansas kids again and do it for 2 years, 3 years at the most, and then send them on to somebody else, and hopefully they'll be ready to go. You know, and that's was my idea behind that. And so while I was in Beloit, I had a couple guys come to my house and talk me into being the club coach. And so I did that. I was still involved with wrestling with the youth club there and the Beloit Wrestling Club. And then this job, I heard it was going to come open. So I started getting gearing things up for that and got lucky and got in.
And I'm sorry, what was the college that you went to after Hayes in Colorado?
I went to, after Hayes, I went to Northern Illinois and DeKalb, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
For a year.
Okay.
Then I went to Colorado Northwestern and then Neosho. Those were my college jobs.
Gotcha. Okay. So you, as you were working construction and working with the kids program, you still kind of had that thought in the back of your mind or that desire to get back in the coaching ranks?
I did. It just wasn't going to be any job, though.
So what teams and individuals stand out as you reflect back on your coaching career?
We had some pretty good teams here at Neosho. And the first year I was here, we had a team that placed eighth in the nation and had a national champ and a couple other All-Americans. That was a good team. And I'd say in 2012 and 13, we did pretty good. With those guys, you know, Jeff Fest, who's coaching over at Labette now, he was a champ in 2012, and then he was a leader on that team, and then Leroy Barnes won it in 2013. We had a good team going there, and then the year after that's when we went out to Spokane, and I think, yeah, we brought home a fifth-place trophy that year and didn't have anybody place above fourth. So we had a good team there, and we were pinning people, you know, getting those bonus points. So I think I figured up in 14 with five All-Americans and nobody over fourth place, but we had, I don't know, 20, 22 bonus points from pins, and that sure helped us get that trophy, you know.
Wow, that's significant. That's like a finalist.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And then, of course, our best teams at Fort Hays, they really stand out. In 86 and 87, we took fifth in the nation both of those years. And yeah, we had it going on. We were learning at the same time. And, you know, you look back on things and, you know, how hindsight is. But we could have done better than that. But that's the way it ended up. It's been, you know, a good 30-some-odd years since anybody's had a champ at Fort Hays on the mat. And that last time that happened was in 87 when we put together that team and was being pretty darn competitive, real competitive, matter of fact, with the D1 guys.
The KWC Hall of Fame recognition starts with a nomination that is reviewed by the board before being accepted. The award is designed to recognize both the depth and the width of a career in the sport. What does the recognition mean to you?
It means a lot. I think my whole thing is just a body of work where I put in a lot of time in the summers with the freestyle and the Kansas teams, and then, you know, working a lot with the Kansas guys at the college level. I tried to really recruit in-state hard, and then, you know, if I couldn't land those guys, I'd go from there, but it means a lot to me. It's a pretty big surprise, actually. But, you know, and I bounced around after I left Fort Hays a little bit and that thing. But you know, I think I always made a mark with the locals and Kansas people because, you know, I connected with them everywhere I was at that we met up and so forth. And you know, with the freestyle and the Greco teams and the juniors and serving on committees and that kind of thing on contributions and so forth. And you start putting that all together, it's like, wow, there's a lot of stuff I got to be involved with or asked to do or whatever, and it turned out to be a lot of time and so forth, but it's all well worth it. And this recognition of the Hall of Fame is just humbling and hard to describe because, you just don't think about it much until all of a sudden it happens and it's like, wow, this is pretty neat.
Yeah, well said, coach, and well deserved. So you are not only a former high-level competitor and coach, but also a fan of the sport. With both unprecedented coverage of wrestling and unprecedented success of Team USA, how involved are you in keeping your eye on the wrestling scene during your retirement?
Oh, I watch it quite a bit. The last couple of years with this, or I guess it seems like a couple of years of me, this COVID thing, I watch a lot on the internet and results and so forth. I've been out and about to a few different events, but I keep track of it and look back on it. I help with the Neosho home duels, and do the announcing there so I get to see some JUCO guys there and, of course, coaches that come in and wrestle here. And so I like doing that. Who knows, I might start showing up to some of these other things that now that they're starting to open up a little bit, I hope.
So thanks for taking the time to jump on today and visit with us about your career in the Hall of Fame honor.
Thank you. And great to be here. Look forward to seeing everybody on October 9th.
So we've been visiting with Wayne Peterson, 2021 KWC Hall of Fame inductee. Coach will be formally inducted during the 2021 Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic on October 9th in Salina. Speaking of the Fall Clinic, it's not too late to get your registration in and make arrangements to attend. All the information that you need can be found on the KWC website at kansaswrestling.org. For President Doug Vanderlinden and the rest of the KWC board, this is Patrick Kelly. Until next time, thanks for listening.